All right. Well, we're running on a skeleton crew this morning, but it's good to see y'all. It's great to see the Forsythes back with us. Beautiful to see y'all's faces. So we're after nine. I'm going to go ahead and pray for us, and then we're going to jump on in. Lord God, Lord, I'm excited for this morning. I'm excited for this opportunity to share what you've put on my heart about evangelism, something that you know has always been on my heart since you saved me, Lord. And God, I just pray that you would be honored and glorified, that you would encourage us in this direction of reaching out with the good news, and help us to see how glorious Jesus is. And that may that be what drives us on to do this, Lord. So just lift these things up to you. Pray for us all. May our hearts be moved to you and toward the lost. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so the topic for this morning is an evangelism checkup for the holidays, practical tips on reaching your neighbors with the gospel. I wanted to kind of show off the background. There is actually a card that Leo just made. So Leo is making these apps. Leo is my wife, for anybody who doesn't know Leo. She's making these absolutely spectacular cards. This is honestly one of the most spectacular ones that I think that she's made. Made it for a coworker. So I just wanted to take a few minutes, 45 plus or minus a couple, and talk about evangelism. And the way that I think about it, there's a number of different things that we do in this Christian life. We read the word, we pray, we share the gospel, we help the needy, we serve. And I think about it in terms of, we almost need, like, you go to the doctor every year for a physical, and they take, like, blood work and see how everything is going, and they ask you questions. I almost think about this in that way. It's like we need a checkup on these things in our life. Like, okay, how is my evangelism? Am I reaching out to the lost with the good news of the gospel? Am I approaching those in my life to seek to reach them with the gospel? Am I reaching out to the poor? You know, am I trying to serve those around me? So this is just one of those things that's going to be kind of a checkup. We're going to walk through some basics of what is the gospel? You know, what is a simple way to be able to present the gospel? And then how do I do this in this holiday season where, honestly, there's a bit of like a slow pitch given to us in order to be able to get some opportunities for sharing the gospel, Christmas being the number one. All right, so what is our motivation? There's a couple things that I think about in terms of motivation, of why we go out to share the gospel. The first is love for God and love for neighbor. So we are created to honor and worship God. And that means that our neighbor is also created to honor and worship God. And as I was driving to church this morning, I was waiting for Brother Jesse over at his house, and I was thinking about, imagine your entire neighborhood was converted and all of them were honoring and worshiping God with their lives. The beauty that that would bring to a neighborhood, the mutual love and just the God-centeredness that everyone's desire is to honor and worship God. And so we, as those who do love God, should also desire that God would be glorified in the lives of those around us, that he would get the maximum amount of glory, that his kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. And so I think that there's the combination of the love for God and then also love for our neighbor. We know as Christians what Jesus taught about those who don't believe. He said, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon them. And so there's two eternal destinies. There is either the eternal destiny of being with God forever, or is the eternal destiny of being under God's wrath forever. And if we believe that, that should possess us with a desire to go out and warn and lovingly encourage people to come into the kingdom. So I think that that's the first motivation. And then the other motivation is essentially, how shall they believe in whom of whom they have not heard? So if you take a look at Romans chapter 10, Well, first of all, Romans chapter 1, Romans 1:16. Does anybody know Romans 1:16? I bet Gary knows Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the, for it is the power of God for salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Then in Romans 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And then it gives us that great verse, for all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? But then it says, but how shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear unless it be preached? And how shall it be preached unless one is sent? And then it says, how beautiful are the feet of the one who preaches the good news. For faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God or the word of Christ, depending on the translation you're looking at. So we pray for people to be saved. Paul prayed for people to be saved. He said in the very beginning of that chapter, I believe, he said, my heart's desire is that they may be saved. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. But at the end of the day, God's means for bringing people to salvation is the word of God. Whether it's strictly, as Stephen and I have been talking about the last couple days, whether it's strictly giving them Bible verses or just explaining to them what the Bible means, those are both kind of a means of the word of God in people's lives. So what is the gospel? There's a simple four-point presentation that I got this. There's kind of a couple of different ways of thinking about this, but I got this one from John Piper, and it is God, sin, Christ, faith. You could also think of it as God, man, Christ, response. So God. So first of all, we are created by God. God is our loving creator who takes care of us, provides good things. Probably most of us enjoyed a lot of good things on Thanksgiving, right? We enjoyed great meals with family and friends. He provides good things for our enjoyment. And that's one of the things that Paul brings up oftentimes with those who don't have a background of knowing the true God. When he talks to Gentiles, he brings up God as the one who gives us good things to enjoy. So the meals that we eat every day, he causes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He gives rain on the just and on the unjust. And we were created, all things and us, were created for his glory. We were created to live for God with his priorities as our priorities. So basically, whatever God's desire is, should be our desire. You know, that's kind of inherent in the, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But then sin. So do we naturally always choose to place God's priorities as our priorities? No. We naturally choose our own way and place things above serving God on our list, unconcerned with honoring him at work and in our home. And this falling short is called sin and brings condemnation and judgment, because God is good and cannot overlook evil. So this leaves us in this lurch of God is good and we are not. God is perfect. He created us for his glory. We don't seek his glory, so we sin. We fall short. But we know that God dealt with sin by sending his son to take on human nature, live a perfect life in God's eyes, and die a sacrificial death to absorb the judgment for the sins of his people. And so that the good news is that, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, I'm by the grace of God and because of a very kind brother, I'm going to get to go see the Andrew Peterson Behold the Lamb concert in about a week. But that's really what it comes down to, is God has set forth a Savior. And that's what we're going to be hearing about. I'm really excited that Pastor Stephen's starting the Advent series where he's going to preach through, and hopefully that will help our expectation and our desire for Christ, both as we look at his incarnation and then also as we look forward to his second coming. That'll grow that desire, because I believe that that's key to our evangelism, is a sincere desire for Christ, a sincere love for Christ. And that needs to be developed first in our own hearts. All right, so then faith. So God, sin, Christ. So God's perfect, we're not. God has set forth a Savior to deliver us from sin, but we have to receive him. You know, we can hear this message as many times as we want, but unless there's actually an act of faith, then there's no salvation. So to be delivered from the condemnation of that your sins deserve, you must place your faith or trust in Jesus, which I believe involves two things generally. Agreeing with God that you are a sinner and that he is the Savior you need, and making a commitment to serve him the rest of your life by seeking to obey him as your Lord. And so I just want to ask this question. I mean, I think this is a good question for our evangelism, to leave with a question with the gospel. It's very uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable for us, and it's probably very uncomfortable for the person we're speaking with. But what would keep you from trusting in Jesus today? What would keep you from trusting in Jesus today? What are the obstacles to faith in your life? What would keep you from trusting in Jesus today? And I would ask that if there's anybody who hasn't personally placed their trust in Jesus today, what would keep you from trusting Jesus today? Why not? Because it's important to kind of place that invitation or that urgency on the table, because as we're going to talk about in a minute, the gospel is urgent. So what we're going to look at today is going to be a smattering of tips and tools. We're all in different situations in our lives. Some of us are in school. Some of us are working. Some of us are stay-at-home moms. Or some of y'all, obviously I'm not a stay-at-home mom, but some of y'all are stay-at-home moms. And so there's different situations that attend just your life. And so what I want to do is just help equip you. I want to help equip you, give you just like a smattering, as I said, of tools, tips, ideas that as you think about this, first that it would spark a desire, reignite and kindle that, yeah, I should be reaching out to my neighbors. And then these are some ways that as you think about it, that you can do that. So if you're already reaching out to those around you, seeking to share the good news and making disciples, keep doing what you're doing. I'm not here to say you need to do it differently. If what you're doing, if you're sincerely seeking to reach out to those around you. But if you know you fall short in this area, if you're like me, if you don't have regular contact with those who aren't believers in Christ, which I would say including your own children. I don't want to exclude that. That is, as parents, sharing the gospel regularly with your own children is the most important thing that you can be doing. That is your first mission field. And then it goes out from there. So it's not, do not hear me saying, oh man, if you're a stay-at-home mom, that you need to kind of like overlook that and like you're not doing enough. If you're sharing the gospel with your kids, that is wonderful and awesome. That is the most important thing you need to be doing. If you have more time and more ability as you are able, then reach out beyond that. But that is the most important thing, and it is a wonderful thing, and you are being faithful in doing so. So couple thoughts, I believe four general thoughts. So the first thought is that of relationship. So, you know, a lot of times two things are pitted against one another in terms of evangelism. Do I do friendship evangelism or do I do stranger evangelism? And I just have to say, why does it have to be one or the other? Why does it have to be one or the other? Jesus didn't do it one or the other. Jesus did one and the other. And so relationships, I think, are favorable in terms of the nature of conversion and discipleship. Discipleship, the way especially that we practice it in this church, but just the nature of it, it's a relationship. It's walking alongside somebody as they come to know what it means to be a follower of Christ. Boy, do I wish that I had a good, stable Christian friend when I first came to faith in Christ to help guide me to Christ and then to help walk with me. That would have saved me a lot of pain on my first probably 3 years of Christianity. It was like a roller coaster because I didn't have anybody stable around me walking with me. And so I would just find the next new thing. I was like a child tossed to and fro by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of doctrine. And so it's so good to have a Christian friend, stable Christian friend. And Lord willing, we can be that to other people. So I think that we look to form relationships and invite people into the kingdom and then seek to walk with them in the kingdom. So that's the making disciples and then maturing disciples. The making disciples being more the evangelism component of it, seeing people come to Christ, then the maturing being the walking with them. So we seek to build bridges to friendship, to continued discussion. And one thing to remember is friendship takes time, in both in terms of longevity and also just you got to have calendar space. And so one of the things that you might need to do in terms of just thinking about reaching out to others is saying, what do I need to step back from? You know, my calendar is absolutely jam-packed. I don't have time to have lunch with somebody who, you know, might be a neighbor or coworker or whatever to talk to them about this. Well, maybe that means that there's just too much. Maybe you're in a season that it's not possible right now and there's no way to step back from anything. But maybe it means that there's too much and there needs to be a little bit of a rebalancing in order to find some time. So the second thing, as I already hinted towards, is don't be afraid to plant seeds. So Jesus shared the gospel with more people than he could disciple. And you and I likely know way more people than we could possibly be able to maintain any kind of depth of relationship with. We can't just have weekly lunches or even monthly lunches with every single person that we know. And so there's a reality that God has placed us in a lot of people's lives, but Jesus had his multitudes, right? He went out and he preached to great crowds of people. But he didn't say, well, I'm not going to be able to have the time to follow up with you, so I'm not going to preach to you. He still preached. He still preached the word of God to multitudes. And then he had a smaller number of what would be considered disciples. He had 72 or 120 or maybe over 500, because it says there were 500 all in one place, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, one of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances. But then he had his 12, and then he had his three, because even within the 12, there were three inner circle disciples. So don't be afraid to plant seeds among people you don't have time to disciple, or you don't have time to be friends, kind of have that friendship relationship with. You don't know what's going to happen down the line. You don't know who the Lord could lead them to. And so I just say, don't be afraid to plant seeds. It's the sower went out to sow. And if you notice in Matthew chapter 13, the sower did not seem to show a lot of discretion as to where they threw the seed, right? You know, and we could take issue with the sower. Man, you got to be more careful about where you sow that seed. But, you know, the sower was free with the seed. And I think we could learn something from that. So third point, have a series of tools. Have a series of tools. It's good to have a tool chest to reach into depending on the situation. So I like to have gospel tracts. If you need some gospel tracts, I was going to bring some in, but I totally forgot. But I would be happy to equip you with some gospel tracts. There's also some tools that I've got on a sheet up here at the end. I've got some wonderful QR codes that you can scan and find some good tools. So it's good to have gospel tracts to be able to share with somebody. Let's say that you're checking out at the grocery store and you want to have a gospel seed, but there's 15 people behind you and you're not going to try and take somebody's time and place more burden on them than the 14 people behind you or 15 people behind you in line. And they're already thinking about, oh man, I've got to check out all these people. So gospel tracts, those are good. It's even good to write your own. You know, if you like, What is the presentation of the gospel? What would you want people to know around you? Well, consider writing it in your own words. Consider writing a gospel tract in your own words. Because a lot of times you might say, well, they don't say it exactly the way that I'd want to. Well, think about writing your own. But short of that, there are plenty that have been written. Then if somebody's interested, something simple to do as an initial follow-up is just start reading a gospel with them. We have four options to choose from: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. My mom seems to have been converted by reading the Gospel of John with her. We would have weekly phone calls, and we would just read a Gospel of John, chapter in the Gospel of John together. And at one point, I just asked her, like, so what do you believe? Do you believe this? And she said, yeah, I do. And then it took a while, and we kept talking, and eventually I was like, don't you think you should probably, you know, get involved with the church? She's like, yeah, you know, I probably should. And so then she got involved with the church, and then it was like, well, what do you think about, you know, membership and baptism? She's like, yeah, you know, I probably should become a member and be baptized. And like, praise the Lord, she's been walking with the Lord for a few years now. And so, actually, I don't know how long it's been now. It's probably been 3, 4, 5 years. And so it's just like these little things. But it's not little. It's like my mom is saved because, like, we went to the Gospels together. And so it's not a little thing in anybody's life. It might feel little at the time, but, like, this is huge. It makes enormous differences. So that's a tool, like reading the Gospels together. Another tool, Story of Hope. Story of Hope is a super simple 40-lesson little booklet that's published by Good Soil Evangelism and Discipleship that is a biblical theology, walks through lessons from Genesis to Revelation, has pictures, has a map in the beginning, and in each page it has, like, what does this lesson tell you about the character of God? Like, circle the things you see in this. So it could be used from anything from children to adults. Each lesson you could easily go through in 15 minutes. So you could, and then at the end, there's a kind of like a bridge from a bridge to faith lesson that would ask people and invite them to make a decision. So that's a good one. Then there's Fundamentals of the Faith. Some of you know, probably all of you know, John MacArthur. So Fundamentals of the Faith is a discipleship curriculum that he puts out that I find to be pretty helpful. It gives you a basic systematic theology around the Bible, God, Christ, salvation, the church. And then the last thing is just the gospel is urgent. I've already hinted towards this. I guess it's not a hint. I've already said this. So if the gospel is urgent, we must be willing to step outside of our comfort zone. Paul said that he was willing to become all things to all people in order that by any means he might save some. So I think that there's an amount of heart preparation that's necessary for evangelism. Paul asked the Christians he wrote to, think about the end of, I can't remember whether it's the book of Ephesians or Colossians, but it might be both, I think. He said, pray for me. Pray for me that the Lord would open a door and that he would give me boldness, that I would be able to speak the word clearly as I ought to. Because when you get in these situations, we don't want to make it awkward. We want to be as congenial and as amicable, friendly as possible, but we are presenting a message that is abrasive by nature. It's saying there's one way, and you're not on that way unless you're believing in Jesus. Like, that is so contrary to the message that our culture teaches of just this agree. Thou shalt not offend. You must avoid offending. You must avoid triggering somebody. And we are bringing a message that, so we don't try and make it offensive, but it is by nature somewhat offensive. So we have to be willing to be bold and to speak things clearly. On those lines, just a few heart check questions before we get into the actual tips. And by the way, this is front loaded, so we're going through a lot. The majority of this is going to be actually before we get into the holiday specific tips. So if you're like, Ben, you're already through 25 minutes, how on earth are you going to get through this in time? Don't worry, I have somewhat of a plan. We should be on time. So some heart check questions. So think, I would ask you to call to mind for a second somebody in your life that you'd like to reach out to. Call to mind, maybe it's a neighbor. So think about this person. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. So think about this person. Think about what is their name. Maybe call to mind their picture. And then ask yourself this question. Do I care if God is glorified in the life of this person? So how much do I really care about this person? How much do I care about God being glorified, being honored in the life of this person? Do I want this person to be saved and to be with me in heaven forever? Do I really want that? And then last, am I willing to be uncomfortable for God's glory and the salvation of someone else? And I think the answer to all of these, for all of us, would probably be yes, but not as much as I want it to be. Yes, yes, I do care if God is glorified in the life of this person, but not as much as I want to. Yes, I do want this person to be saved and to be with me in heaven forever, but I should want it more. And I am willing to be uncomfortable for God's glory and the salvation of someone. But, Lord, help me. Because sometimes the way that I act doesn't show that. Because I will balk at opportunities. Because opportunities don't come usually when we are just after having had our morning time in the Word and prayer, you know, and where we're all prayed up and where we feel ready. It comes at us at unexpected times, but that's where we need to be ready in season and out of season. All right, so now we get to the specific holiday tips. So the first one, write a Christmas letter. How many of you, by a show of hands, how many of you do Christmas cards? There's like, no way, there's like more than two people in this room who do. No, I guess, well, yeah, I guess two people. Well, maybe the rest of y'all can take up doing Christmas cards. But anyways, so many do send out Christmas cards. So one of the things to think about is, along with that card, write a letter. And this is what I've started to do. I kind of got it. Some people do like yearly recaps of like what was the year, what happened with each member of the family, stuff like that. So I read this great article, I think it was on Crosswalk, that it was talked about writing a more authentic Christmas letter, because sometimes Christmas letters can just seem like you distilled the superficiality of Facebook and put it onto paper to be read by your family and friends. So it's like all the good things that happened to me this year. But there's more than just good things that happened to you. And it's an opportunity to also talk about how you trusted God in the midst of it, how you turned to God, or how you know that you should turn to God more in the future because you didn't trust God to the extent that you wish you would have. And also to thank the people that you're writing to tell them how much you care about them, and some things that are that you appreciate maybe in specific from this past year. Like in our letter that we're writing, I talk about how we had COVID this year, and we had a lot of people offer help with groceries and pray for us, and we're really grateful for that help. And then you have an opportunity to share the gospel in a brief way. So I just have these like little half-page Christmas letters that I'm writing, and so I originally just put a scripture there, which I think that's good too, but then I kind of went back and forth with Alex and Stephen, and they suggested just writing out the gospel in a brief way, and so I just kind of presented it in my own words. And then I'm going to get to send these out to all kinds of people in my life, and it's going to ask them to make a decision, essentially, to like that question that I asked, what would keep you from coming to Jesus today? You know, because I've realized that my family isn't getting any younger. Both my parents are 71. I have an aunt who's just about to turn 80, and she has already said that she's probably not going to make it to another Christmas. And it's just like, time flies, and I don't want them to go into eternity without knowing the Lord. So I know that's kind of like heavy stuff, but it's the reality. It's the reality of it. So I think writing a Christmas letter is a great way to be able to approach family and friends with this message at this time of year. The second one is, we probably, most of us, have some kind of holiday gathering. Now, Thanksgiving's already behind us, so that bird has flown, that ship has sailed, but you still have Christmas in front of you. So one thing that a friend of mine did that I thought was pretty cool, they had another Thanksgiving gathering before Thanksgiving as an opportunity to have neighbors over who probably already had plans on Thanksgiving. And so they invited a bunch of neighbors over for a Thanksgiving gathering at their house. So you maybe know a neighbor, especially a single neighbor who doesn't have family in the area, a friend or a coworker, and you can invite them over for a holiday gathering. You know, you don't need to invite, obviously, 10 or 20. You can invite 10 or 20, but even if you invite one person, that could make an enormous difference in their life, both just in terms of that time being invited into a family, and then maybe for eternity. So then I brought a prop with me today. You have things like, if you're anything like me, you have a tough time bridging the gap from superficial conversation to deep spiritual truths. Does anybody have a hard time with that? Okay. I'm among friends. Yeah, it's hard. It's like we're talking about just random events that have happened throughout the year, good times, bad times. We're talking about the weather, maybe politics, at your own danger. And then it's like, how am I going to bridge the gap to get to the gospel? So one of the things that's helpful is just getting a little bit deeper in conversation. So there's things like this, let's mingle. So these are literally just cards that you get from Amazon or whatever your favorite retailer is. And they just have simple questions on them. So like, what are you looking forward to in the coming months? Well, I'm looking forward to it not being as cold as it is. What quirks do you have? Well, that's probably too long of an answer or too long of a question to give. But they just kind of like start to get a little bit deeper and they start to draw out things about like what is somebody's desires? What are their hopes? What do they like? What do they not like? So you get to that next deeper level. And I want to give you just a brief example that I went over to a friend's house and we used these, or maybe it was, I have something else that's very similar, but basically these questions. One of them was, what are you afraid of? Well, somebody admitted that they were afraid of death and that they think about death every day. I mean, that's tragic. It's understandable. Death is an enemy. It's tragic. And that's also like, let me bring the hope of the gospel to you. Like there is a way to be delivered from fear of death. That's what Hebrews 2 talks about. There is one who has come to deliver us from the sting of death. And so like this, you know, just average, we went from normal board games. We started with a normal board game and then we went to this. And it was like, you know, went from up here, superficial level to like deep, deep spiritual conversation that met somebody's spiritual need. So just invite you to pick up some of these or think about them. I'm sure that there's a number of questions that you could also print off online. So if you have these family gatherings coming up, if you have people coming over, if you're going to invite people over, like this is a good way to be able to engage people and some conversation that's a little bit deeper. The last one, forgot a couple things. So the other thing, of course, with all of this is prayer. So we need to pray that the Lord would use these, because at the end of the day, God is going to use us. He's pleased to use us as the messengers, but he's still got to be the one to open people's hearts and open doors for more significant opportunities. And then there's also, you can ask, you know, like, what is Christmas all about to you? And so you can get that and maybe even read, you know, some from the Gospel of Luke or the Gospel of Matthew of the Christmas story. So there's a couple more ideas in terms of the gathering. And lastly, Christmas cookies for neighbors. You can make a half dozen cookies for a half dozen neighbors. That's kind of what I've done. Or actually, it's tended to be more about 10 neighbors. And walk around giving them out, which is also a great thing if you have kids. This is a great way to get your kids involved with you in outreach, because they can both help, you know, depending on the age, help you make cookies, and then they can walk around with you and see that you are prioritizing your community, that your neighbors, reaching out to your neighbors and showing love for your neighbors is an important thing for your family. So this is a way for your whole family to be able to come on board and to reach out. And then you can do a couple of things. You can include a Christmas letter with the cookies or a gospel tract with the cookies. I have an idea of a gospel tract that I'm gonna recommend to you. You can also, depending on how much time you have and how many neighbors you're doing this for, you can either leave it in a bag at your neighbor's door. I've done that with some neighbors. Or if you have time, it's a great opportunity to be able to knock on the door to get to know your neighbor a little bit better. You know, and you can say, like, ask how they're doing. Apologize that you haven't reached out to them any time in the last 5 years that you've lived next to them. You know, which is all right. It's all right to don't. It is way better to say, I'm sorry that I haven't done this before, than to say, well, I'm just going to continue not doing this, right? You're eating a little bit of humble pie, but it's all right. And most people desire a relationship. And so they're probably going to be all right with you approaching them, even though you haven't before. Now, there's outliers. Obviously, there's the not nice neighbors, but your average neighbor is going to be all right with you coming, even if they haven't seen anything of you or very little of you in the last 3 years. If you're coming with cookies, you're bringing a peace offering, and so it's all right. And then this is also an opportunity. This ties in with the second one too. Let's say that this is a single neighbor. This is a great opportunity to invite them to your holiday gathering, or maybe even a family that you want to have over. You could invite them. You could say, hey, we're doing a gathering for Christmas on December 16th. We'd love to have you over. And then you could ask if there's anything that you can pray for them about. I'm a Christian. I love to pray for other people. Is there anything I can pray for you about? And depending on how that goes, you can say like, hey, this is the way John Piper puts it. And I like it. My heart needs to grow so that I can really be able to say it. I feel like with the level of familiarity and intensity that John Piper says it. Well, probably intensity isn't the most important thing, but hey, can I share with you the best news ever? You can probably, if you're familiar with John Piper, you can probably imagine him saying that. Can I share with you the best news ever? Just share the gospel with them. You were created by God. We were created by God for his glory. The bad news is you and I, we haven't always loved God and his glory. But in this Christmas season, we remember that Jesus came so that we could have our sins forgiven, our falling short in that way. There's a lot of opportunities here. Like I said, this is a smattering of tips and advice. So I know that I'm not saying do all of these things. Maybe do all of them. I'm not saying don't do all of them, but I'm not saying you have to do all of them. I'm trying to broadcast a number of possibilities out to you. So are there any questions on that, on what I've shared so far? And then if not, we're just gonna close things out. Any questions? Comments? Yeah, Ben.
Well, just one thing that occurs to me is if you go to your neighbor and say, I'm sorry, I've reached out 5 years, most neighbors, if I'm your neighbor, are probably gonna say, well, I didn't reach out to you.
There you go. Goes both ways. Yeah. No, that's good. Other thoughts? Comments, questions? All right. Just a couple things in finishing. So for those of you who don't know, we do an outreach in Centennial Park every first Saturday of the month, which, by the way, is going to be next Saturday. Every first Saturday of the month from 2 to 4 p.m. in front of the Parthenon. And it's an opportunity to go out, pass out gospel tracts, potentially preach. I'm not saying you have to preach. Even if you just come and pray for us while we're sharing the gospel, that would be an awesome thing. But it's an opportunity just to get out there and to be stirred up. Because I think that that's one of the main things, just being stirred up to share the gospel. So this coming Saturday, 2 to 4 p.m. At the Parthenon, on the water side of the Parthenon, Centennial Park. So if you're interested, feel free to come ask me or just come. Also, Planned Parenthood outreach every other Thursday from 8 to 9 a.m. So the next one is going to be this Thursday. It's going out to Planned Parenthood. Standing there are usually a number of people who go out. Some people bring kids. There was actually a family that I knew, David and Jennifer, who brought they had triplets, and then they had a younger child. And now they even have a younger child. Although the child that was young has gotten a little bit older now. And they would bring their children because what more could you show to somebody who's about to make the worst decision of ending preborn human life than like, this is what life looks like. Like, don't end this life. I try to go out every other Thursday. There's a group that goes out almost every day. So if you're interested in that, once again, feel free to let me know or just show up 8 to 9 a.m. this Thursday. And then last but not least, I have some slips up front with some of they have the questions, those heart check questions. And then also a couple good gospel tracts, the story tract, which gives like a biblical redemptive history, and then also Hark the Herald Angels Sing. So it's very much a Christmas themed track. The Story of Hope book that I mentioned, that biblical theology. It's got a link to that. And then Christmas Gone Viral. And you guys know Ray Comfort? So even if you're not geared towards like public evangelism, Christmas Gone Viral is so good. Just take an hour and watch it. It's worth your time. It's very encouraging. It's just, they're going out. It's got people all across the world. They're going out and they're sharing the gospel with people, asking them, like, what is Christmas about to you? And then taking them through the good person test and sharing the gospel. And then also intermixed between it, it's got great Christmas Carol flash mob scenes. So we all love when a bunch of people gather together in a mall and just belt out this wonderful Christmas carol. So it's got some scenes like that. And then the last one is John Piper with like a 7 or 8 minute Ask Pastor John on tips for evangelism. And that was so helpful because I'll say, I am by no means where I want to be in this. And that's why I need a regular checkup in my own heart of what is my attitude towards my neighbors. And that's why I wanted to, since it's something that I feel like the Lord has put on my heart, and thanks to the pastors, and I get this opportunity to stand up, I feel like it's something that I get to also bring before us all. So we get to have these regular checkups on how are we doing reaching our neighbors, and how are we doing seeking to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Any other questions? If not, I think we're actually going to finish about a minute early. All right, well, let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for my brothers and sisters here. It's a blessing to be able to stand before them. Lord, I pray that the things that I've offered will be helpful to them, pleasing to you. Lord, and I pray that the result of this will be your word going forth. Lord, as I walked around Opry Mills Mall yesterday, there's so many beautiful people that are so lost. And their God is just what all the shops in the mall have to offer. And not you. And so, Lord, I just pray, Father, for your word to settle in our hearts, for us to have deep, vibrant faith, and for that to overflow to those around us, Lord. So we pray, please open doors in this season, and please give us the boldness to reach out. And give us hearts that are prepared to worship and honor you in all that we do. And we pray for our worship hour as it comes. Lord, please give Stephen your words to speak. We thank you for all this time, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.